Hello, everybody, and welcome to VG Club. I'm your host, Paul slash Viv, aka Daxter23 Jack, and today I am joined by Ben, aka BJK394.
I'm here up to 200%.
Sweet. All right, and then we've got Chris as well, aka Korea9.
Hey, that's me.
Obviously, aka Javi.
What's up?
Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hello, I have no Resident Evil 2 quotes.
Not as cheesy as the first game. And then last but not least, we've got Grace, aka do you still have the piranha tag, plant tag as your username?
Haven't been using it, but I mean, we can go with that or Lila Bell, whatever.
Okay. I was like, I could have sworn you changed it, but I can't remember what you changed it to. But yeah, regardless, we're all here to discuss Resident Evil 2 Remake. This was nominated by Javi, so if you want to go ahead and do the honors of introducing this game.
Sure. Yeah, so this is a remake of a beloved survival horror game from the PlayStation 1 era. This is a game that follows a rookie cop and a college student who's looking came to Raccoon City to find her brother. And it turns out that Raccoon City is overrun by zombies and they're trying to survive the night.
Hey, Chris is being a fuckboy in Europe.
That's right. Well,
That's the coded message. I know, I know.
Is he though? Because this doesn't take place that long after the mansion, right? Like,
I think it's a few
okay.
months after. But yeah, I mean, but I think he is in Europe, trying to, track down Umbrella or whatever. You never really find out what he's up to, but that letter that he leaves in the Star's office is intentionally written like a fuckboy. Like, that's why if you're playing as Claire, when you read that, she utters that doesn't sound like Chris, because he's definitely writing in code. But yeah, this game is a remake of Resident Evil 2, and it's really, really good. I don't know what else to introduce it with, but yeah.
No, I think that just about does it. So is it, did you like history wise, have you did you guys play Re the Resident Evils on the PS1?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Well,
The only old style one I've played is Code Veronica, which is on PlayStation 1, but I played it on Dreamcast. So.
hey, shout out to Code Veronica. Doesn't get enough love.
Yeah, that's the one that isn't getting a remake, and it's where we find out what Chris was up to, so. But I think just also kind of like that, I guess the trans multiple personality stuff, I feel like maybe that wouldn't age as well. So, if you guys know what I'm talking about, the main villain thinks he's his, he's his sister and just got multiple personalities going on. But regardless, I this is my first time. I never played any of the PS1 Resident Evil games. I played like an hour of the remake of Resident Evil on the GameCube, but beyond that, I haven't really touched the series at all. So this was my first foray into it.
Wait, not even four, the good one?
No,
Oh,
I
come
haven't
on.
played four.
There are other good ones.
Oh, I'm sorry. The best one?
I wouldn't even go there, but fine. I'll allow it.
Well, for little babies like me who are scared of horror games, it's honestly the
That's
only one I
fair.
could play.
There's Resident Evil is a series that so many of even like the mainline titles are so different from each other. They're almost like RE4 and especially RE5 and 6 are almost in entirely different genres from the rest. So I don't know. People love 4 a lot. I think 4 is excellent, but it's not my favorite. But I understand that it's by and large people like the general public. That's the best one according to people.
I'm a man of the people. What can I say?
That's right.
4 was the second one I played, so it's kind of got the nostalgia thing going on, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you guys have the chainsaw controller, just out of curiosity?
You know, I've had multiple opportunities to have one, even back when it was new, and I was looking at it at, like, EB Games back in the day, and I just never pulled the trigger, and I've always regretted it. I want one. I definitely want one. As, like, a... Like, the GameCube is my flagship console. I love it to death. It's my favorite. And Resident Evil is my favorite. And, like, I should own that thing, but I don't, unfortunately.
Can you beat Mario 64 with the chainsaw controller?
I might be able to do that. Yeah.
You might get another article, Javi.
You had one, Grace?
Yeah, I had one, and I tried using it to actually, like, play Resident Evil 4 for, you know, a few minutes. Of course, it sucked ass. So it just stayed in the box most of the time, but I have no idea what I did with it, but I don't have it anymore. So. But I remember buying it on clearance, so it was probably a while after it was still new, but not, like, super new.
The problem with those, they came with, like, stickers, so you can put, like, the Resident Evil logo or blood splatters wherever you want on there. And I can't imagine those stickers aged very well. And, like, if you were to buy one today, it's probably going to be really gross. But there's a PS2 version as well, where the chainsaw is orange instead of yellow. I kind of want both.
Ooh. But, I guess... Resident Evil, like, I'm familiar with the franchise, and I remember, you know, just even back in the day when I had, like, old issues of GamePro, like, I'd read the issues that would kind of describe the lore, and it'd be interesting, even, you know, it can be stupid, of course, but it can, it's fun. I'm horrible with horror games, so I usually tend to steer away from that stuff, unless I'm forced to, aka by hobby.
Yeah, I'm curious, how did you fare with Resident Evil 2 Remake?
Definitely ran into 2 or 3 jump scares and I screamed out loud. But, well, not like a, you know, piercing shriek, just like, ah! And every time I'd do it, my dogs would rush over to me and just be like, are you okay? And just be like, yeah, I'm fine. But, no, I didn't finish it, but I got done with the police department, which was my goal. So yeah, I had a fun time with it. I think I was just really annoyed that I wanted, like, if there was a cheat code that would have enabled the infinite knife, I would have taken it so hard, because I'm just like, I think with these games in particular, like, if you want to play it, quote unquote, the most efficient way, you have to realize you can't kill everything. You have to just, like, usually the best way to deal with a lot of the enemies is to, like, take out their leg and then just, you know, walk around them sort of thing and just keep running.
Yeah, I kind of have a cursed knowledge with this game in particular, because I got so into it that I was speed running it. And so you just can't go back to playing it regularly. So that, to what you're saying about not having to kill everything, like, every single zombie that you encounter, you just need to shoot them until they have a stun animation. And so it's like you aim for their knees is usually the best option, but you aim for their knee and they'll just, like, the second that they react in, like, a, like, you'll know it when you see it, when there's, like, a unique animation, just run. You can run right into them. They won't hit you because they're doing their stun. So, and even, like, the opening section, I have that so down pat, like, you'd fly through that in seconds and not get hit at all and not have to spend any ammo. So that's kind of how I'm going to play this game for the foreseeable future, because you can't, I don't know, to not play it that way is to intentionally be wasteful, I guess. Yeah,
because when I got to the, I guess, the first boss, which Sherry's father, I don't even know what his name is. William, yeah, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. He's definitely got that unique looking look going with the first encounter. But yeah, I plowed through all of my ammo on that dude. I was hitting the eye just constantly. I was just like, please turn red. Turn around.
Again, a speedrun tactic there. You can defeat him with two knives. If you have two knives, you can kill him really, really quickly. You just slash away.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. I was mainly just using my knife as, like, cleanup, just being like, okay, I got a zombie in this hall, and I know I'm going to have to, like, retrace my way through here, so I'm just going to take it out so I can just go back to, like, I don't know, the police locker room, like, regularly once I have one of those, like, key cards or the buttons, because some dick removed them and put them in, like, the portable safes.
A funny thing about how the knives work, if you're playing on a really high-end PC where you can get like, you know, 120 frames per second or even just unlock it, the knife damage is based on the frames per second that the game is running. So you can take out William Birkin with maybe even one knife on PC if you're playing on a high-end computer.
You can just up your damage by upping your frames per second.
Yeah, yeah. It's bonkers.
Yeah, William's still on, you know, 30 frames per second.
I was playing it on PC, so that's good to know because I haven't gotten to that part in Claire's story. We just have to bump the settings, the graphical settings down so that it runs fast.
Yeah, don't waste your ammo on that fight because he will take all your ammo if you take it out traditionally.
I guess we should kind of establish that too, is that there's an option at the start of the game that you can play as either Leon or Claire.
Yeah.
And their adventures are slightly different. It's actually a change I don't like from the original game, because they took away where if you were playing as Leon or Claire and you would pick up items in one game, they would disappear in the other, like when you're doing the B run. So if you're doing a Claire run in the PlayStation game and you pick up, like, let's say the shotgun, that shotgun's not there in Leon's run. There's ammo that's not there. So, like, they wouldn't say they made it easier, but it took away, like, a little bit of the uniqueness of the dual runs.
Yeah, they got rid of the zap system is what it was called. Yeah. That and then also their storylines used to be a lot more logical that they could both have happened. In the remake, there's stuff that overlaps where it's like, what? Leon did this and Claire did this. And it's the exact same thing with the same third character.
Yeah.
That sucks. I don't like that.
But yeah, while we're on the topic of Leon versus Claire, who did you guys play as, or did you play as both?
I'm always Claire.
I'm Team Claire. I mean, eventually you end up playing both, but I prefer Claire over Leon.
Yeah, I've 100%ed everything in this game, so I've definitely played as both of them. But for this run, it was Claire.
What about you, Marcus?
Oh, well, you know, best Resident Evil, so Leon.
Yeah, I went Leon 2. Part of me wanted to go with Claire, but also Claire, I feel like she gets like saddled with this stereotypical, like, you know, feminine role. She's just like, oh, I'm here to, you know, I'm here for my brother. And then it's like, oh, my brother's not here. And then I'm going to take care of Sherry for like the rest of this game and save her life and kind of play the maternal role. I don't know. Something about that kind of annoyed me. So I was like, eh, I'll just be Leon. Then I can deal with the hot Asian Asian assassin spy lady. Ada Wong.
So that's who that kid was at the end? Sherry?
Yeah, Sherry. That's William's daughter. I think that I would say Claire's story is more enjoyable for me. Like, playing as Sherry is like actually like a horror game. It's like really spooky. Playing as Ada is not as much.
Yeah, I mean, Ada can do the same stuff that Claire and Leon can. Like,
yeah, but
like
even like
she has a weapon.
Yeah, even aside from that though, like her sections aren't great. I don't think. I like Sherry's whole like stealthy and then like in the orphanage. Oh, that part's great.
It's very good.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of what the other main difference is, because Claire gets to go to the orphanage, whereas Leon doesn't, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and then is there anything that like is exclusive to Leon? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Well, they have differences in the weapons they get, and then also Claire gets the heart key and the diamond key. I don't know if Leon doesn't get. I think Leon doesn't get the heart key because like there's a part in the police station at the very beginning. It's when you climb through that window. You go into a room and there's a door with a heart lock on it, and Leon will never enter that room. You have to play as Claire.
Yeah, I was trying to rack my mind for the Clover key and the because the spade key is easy to find, and yeah, I couldn't find the heart key anywhere either. So
yeah, I think Leon gets the Clover key and Claire never gets that, so they kind of trade off in that way.
There's a handful of rooms in both of them, but definitely in the police station that only Claire can get to, and then the handful of rooms only Leon can get to. So like I did both. I did the Leon run and then I did a Claire run. If you do like the second run, is there like noticeably different stuff like story wise? Because it seemed to be, I don't know if I just knew the game better, but I blew through with the Claire run like half as, like twice as fast as I did the Leon run. It just felt easier to me for some reason.
Well, there's one thing we didn't talk about, like, you know, you can do Leon or Claire, but then there's, what's it called? Like the B run or whatever it is, second run.
Yeah,
like that
mission.
Yeah, that makes it way harder. Like Mr. X shows up almost immediately, you have significantly less ammo, and you have like a weird alternative primary weapon that usually sucks. that's a big difference. But as for like how the games affect one another, they don't really, honestly. It's just like little things that are different between them, which is unfortunate because the original felt a lot more like they were playing off each other. Like Chris said, like making the tough choice, like depending on, because whichever character you choose, that's the A file, and then after you finish that, the game sets you up to start a B run, and the B run takes whatever items you picked up or left behind, and it brings that into the second run. So that's really missing here. I think a lot of fans were disappointed that was gone.
Yeah, I think Capcom just played it safe because I could see how that can be frustrating, and I think they wanted to just stay with a bit more forgiving, just especially in the modern era.
Yeah.
But I could see that being a thing on like hardcore mode. Like if you carry that over, that would have been nice.
Or like leave it as like, I mean, they give you an option when you start the game of like, you know, here's the three difficulties, like have like what was it called? Javi, Zap
system.
Yeah, add that in as like, you know, you could do like standard zap run or whatever, and it will, as long as you warn people up front, which I don't think was done.
No,
I don't remember if it was done very well in the original game.
Well, the text would just say like, ooh, should I leave this behind for Leon?
Yeah.
But it doesn't say like in the next file, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Like, you don't really realize, you're like, oh, a grenade launcher, I want that. It's like you picked up every weapon, and now really, Leon has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like you could really screw yourself in that way, because like if you are a completionist and just trying to grab everything, then like you're totally screwed on the second run.
Yeah, I mean that's par for the course for those old survival horror games. Like you can screw yourself constantly. Like if you unload, if you try to kill every single zombie you encounter and end up with no bullets whatsoever, you can completely soft lock yourself from progression. Like if you can't defeat a boss with no ammo, right?
Yeah. So, like the ammo isn't respawning in any way. So like you can really make it really difficult.
Well, that's why the game seems to encourage like save scumming with the typewriter. There are so many save slots where it's like, okay, let me go back like an hour or whatever it is if I screwed myself.
Well, that's another thing that this remake doesn't carry over from the classic ones is, well, I guess it does. Never mind. But the ink ribbons were a good way to like prevent save scumming, like true save scumming. They used to be really short supply back in the day, but
Well, I mean, that's what hardcore mode's all about. Like, you've got the increments, limited saving.
Yeah.
So definitely. That's still an option.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I mean, saved scum a lot.
That's good. I mean, that's I think that's encouraged in these games. I think that when this game was announced, when they said that they're remaking Resident Evil 2, of course I was excited. It's one of my favorite games ever, and they're remaking it. Awesome. But I had a lot of concerns. I was like, is this going to be a reskin, like one-to-one? Are they keeping the fixed camera angles? Like, I would have probably loved that, but I know that most people wouldn't. I was just like very curious how they're going to do this. And I honestly felt like, you know, I'm going to enjoy it no matter what, but like they're probably not going to come even close to like the magic of the original. And I got to say that they, besides like the missing zap system and some of these little things here and there, like they couldn't have done a better job. I think this is a phenomenal remake. Like, what more could you ask for? It's just great. And it's its own thing too. Like, they didn't just stay safe. They truly reimagined this game from top to bottom.
But what's I think is great about it is like they imagined it how I think we imagined it in our heads playing 2.
Sure.
Like 2 is, and those first 3 original Resident Evil games, you know, tank controls, like there's some things about them that don't carry over, but like when you think back on them, you're like, yeah, they were really awesome and like cinematic, and it's like they're not, like they're great, like I think they are, but like they did such a good job of advancing that and like presenting it as like you remember it.
Yeah,
while making it super modern, like for anybody to be able to pick up and play.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, and I think there are a lot of people. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna go. You finish your thought, and then I'll go.
Oh, sure. I was just gonna say that I noticed a ton of people who didn't care about Resident Evil or just didn't like survival horror or tank controls, all that stuff. Like, this remake was so accessible to those types of people. They could just pick it up and play like a third person shooter, right? And I think this hit that broad appeal that those original games just couldn't, just by the way they're designed. And they did that while still preserving like the heart, the core of what Resident Evil 2 is, and like some of the magic of why it's, I don't know, just memorable and great. So
yeah, it's still at its core an arcane puzzle like game. Like, it's an adventure game where you're solving stupid puzzles by getting different items to put together.
That's a great, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot. But like, Resident Evil, people don't really think of it this way, but Resident Evil is a point and click game. Like, yeah. It's like, use this object on this thing, solve this really obtuse, weird puzzle. And for the longest time, the series has not been that, not even close. And when Resident Evil 2 Remake came out, it was like, finally, a breath of fresh air, or finally, like, This franchise has been starved of what its roots were. Like, we haven't had puzzles in a Resident Evil game, like true puzzles. Like, Resident Evil 4, I think that's one of my big issues with it, is you'd get an object that seemed like a Resident Evil item that's going to be like a obtuse puzzle or whatever, but no, you just walk up to the thing that it belongs to and it just automatically applies it and you don't think about it at all. This one had you manipulating objects and turning them over and thinking like creatively about how to, you know, have interact these objects, even like the police badge that you can put, you can examine it and then it turns into a USB drive and then you put it into the computer, but then you can pick it back up and then bring it downstairs and put it somewhere else. And like, I love it. I love so much. So Resident Evil 2 Remake really brought that back and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think I think about the best remakes of all time, and I think Resident Evil 2 is definitely in the top 5. I mean, like, what else would be up there for you guys personally?
Well, I mean, I would say that not that it's one of my favorites or whatever, but like everybody really loved the Dead Space remake that came out, but that is a truly just kind of it's kind of like the Demon Souls remake. Like, these are games that are as they were, just
yes,
up, like, yeah,
that's and I don't mean to like throw shade at it, but it's that remake of Psycho, right? Like, hey, we did a shot for shot remake of this thing that was awesome to start with. And I think that's great for Demon's Souls and Dead Space, because those games, they still look okay, but they don't look great anymore. And those new remakes make them look great.
Yeah.
But they're not different from what they were originally.
So those ones are modern enough that those remakes are not as big of an impact, but I guess one that really stands out to me is like, okay, the graphics being this different does change it quite a bit, or it does, I don't know, have a bigger impact for me. Yeah. As Shadow of the Colossus, when they remade that.
Oh yeah. It runs slightly better too.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. The difference between, like, I guess those we'd call true, like actual remakes. And then Resident Evil 2 remake is more of a reimagining. There's like pros and cons to both. But if you're doing a reimagine, I think Resident Evil has had several excellent reimagines, right? The reimagine of the original, the original remake was fucking great. I think that's my favorite Resident Evil game. I think that's the classic, traditional, pure experience. But then 3 is unfortunately a bump in that road. But then 4 brought it back, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's also, like, if we're talking about the PS1 one games, it's also kind of pertinent to realize that they scrapped Resident Evil 2. And there's a reason why there's, like, a Resident Evil 1.5. Like, you guys have heard about that. Claire was originally not in the game, and it was, like, this motocross woman, and one of her costumes is in the game as, like, representation of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, like, Resident Evil has a lot of those, like, mythical, scrapped early versions of stuff. Like, even RE4 has their ghost demo or whatever with the hook man and stuff, which I think they actually paid homage to a bunch in the remake that just came out. But
yeah, no, and what is it also... God, I've lost my train of thought. But yeah, there's just a lot. Oh, yeah. I was going to say DMC started out as like a failed Resident Evil a title. And then it just, they're like, this isn't a Resident Evil title. And they made it into something else entirely that, you know, is a classic series.
So I love that, because you look at especially the first DMC, and then you look at Resident Evil 4, and you're like, oh, yeah. Like, they were definitely cross-pollinating here, like, because they were working on Resident Evil 4 when they turned it into Devil May Cry, and yeah, that, like, those castles and like that color palette and like just everything about the setting of the original Devil May Cry is very Resident Evil 4. You can see it all over the place.
Yeah, so I mean, like, even if I'm not, I mean, I enjoyed the game, but even if I'm not, like, the biggest fan of, like, horror games or Resident Evil games, I feel like I can appreciate the series for bringing me Devil May Cry, because I have a blast with those games, 3 and 5 in particular, but, yeah.
So, who beat this?
I have multiple times. Not on this run, but I've beat it multiple times in the past, so.
Gotcha.
I beat Leon's story twice, but I still haven't beaten Claire's story ever.
Yeah, I beat it. I beat Leon, and Leon was my first one, and then I did Claire as the second one. So I beat it both times, nice. I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, I just did Leon's path. That's why I didn't have no idea who that kid was at the end. It was just showing up in a cutscene, like, oh, hey, person.
So yeah. Nice to meet you? Question mark.
Yeah, and then the game was over. I was like, okay.
I think
don't
it is cool.
Worry, you'll be a playable character in Resident Evil 6, and everybody will love you.
That's right.
Oh,
poor Sherry deserved better than that. I was happy to see her, but not in that game.
We all deserve better than Resident Evil 6.
Yeah. Yeah. I always revisit six with like the best intentions, like, ah, maybe there's something to love here, and it's hard, man. There's not much there.
But as I was playing through the game, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, the number of people that survived the Raccoon City catastrophe is like super small, considering like what Raccoon City is supposed to be, like a Denver equivalent.
Yeah.
I mean, they did drop a nuke on it, so.
Oh yeah, I know, but like, it's just like you've got Leon made it out of there, Ada Wong made it out of there, Claire, Sherry, Jill, and Carlos. And then I guess Barry was in the copter for like 5 minutes, so technically him as well.
Both of the Resident Evil Outbreak games, those are all survivors.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, you've got oh god, what's the freaking Toph or Stud? What's the freaking soldier dude?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't play those games, but I know of them.
Oh no, but like usually it's like the hard mode in Resident Evil.
Tofu.
No, there's somebody else. No, I know Tofu's great. Punk. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I guess he was a survivor too, but.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to think of. Oh, Resident Evil Survivor, that first person light gun game. That is also a survivor. It's in the title.
But yeah, it looks like this wasn't our first experience with RE2. So just like, how was it, coming back to this story? I feel like it's maybe the strongest story, like Resident Evil. Like, I feel like everything kind of tries to live up to this game, and it's kind of like lives in its shadow. It's just, I mean, it's, you know, still kind of like it can be cheesy, but it's probably the best narrative a Resident Evil game has, right?
I guess so. I do.
I mean, it's finding out what happens with the mansion and its history and the original Resident Evil was fun, but I mean,
what about all that sweet retconning in Resident Evil Village, the founding of Umbrella.
Yeah.
I want a cave. The lore at this point is so warped.
Yeah, it's a mess. But it's fun. I don't take it too seriously.
But yeah, just how did you guys enjoy the story, the narrative, the characters?
It's garbage. What are you talking about?
Okay. Thank you for your answer.
It's like the appeal of the game is in the atmosphere and the visuals and all of that, but like as you're dealing with the story, what little is there, it's not really doing anything.
It's generic B movie zombie stuff, which is what's fun about it. Like,
yeah.
I think especially with Leon's characterization in this game, like I feel like he's intentionally kind of hamming it up. I mean, like, I know he does it way more in RE4, but even in this game, it's clearly he's written as like a B movie horror character.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is rose-tinted glasses or what, but I kind of get a feeling that like this game being as polished and contemporary as it is, it's harder to use your imagination to fill in the gaps. So like for me, the original PS1 version, you kind of project a lot of the character onto these folks. And Resident Evil doesn't have strong characters like across the board. They're not really characters. They're just kind of avatars going through these experiences for the most part. But yeah, I mean, the original RE2, it was really kind of you going through this experience and kind of thinking like, okay, oh, rookie cop. Oh yeah. Oh, he loves Ada. And, you know, you're worried about Sherry and finding out about William Birkin and how he made the G virus, and he wouldn't take it lying down when they tried to steal it from him, and then Sherry is a neglected child, and Annette is just a miserable, horrible woman.
And, yeah, Sherry got out of a very bad situation.
Yeah, but all these like narrative touchstones, like I wouldn't say they're like excellent writing or really great stories, but like they resonate with me. They've stuck with me all this time. They're very I don't know, simple but endearing archetypes, I guess. So I don't know. It's, I find it all very endearing. I like RE2 quite a bit.
All right, cool. And then, yeah, I'm trying to think of any other characters that are in the story. You kind of have run into like some smaller characters. I mean, the psychopathic police chief. He's a great villain.
Oh, yeah. Chief Irons, dude. I don't think Chief Irons got quite as nasty of portrayal as he was in the original.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see his torture chamber and all the blood everywhere and just the really nasty notes that were in the original.
I mean, he runs an orphanage. He killed a woman on his desk and orphanage where they experiment on children, mind you. And then he forces at least five of his own cops to like kill each other in a cage and would let the last one go, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think the orphanage is a new thing. I don't think that was in the original. But
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's weird. It's just like, it's a tourist location. It's like, its stained window is beautiful and tourists come from all over. And it's just like, feels like that would be a horrible spot to have an experimental laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Also, or that
best raccoon spot.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Or the best spot to have an experimental laboratory. Nobody'd expect it.
Right.
Well, and also the fact that the
and that's the type of thinking that will make you an umbrella executive, Chris. Congrats.
All right. Can't wait. What were you saying, Ben?
Just the fact that the police station used to be a museum, and that's why it has all these like weird ass contraptions everywhere.
Yeah, it's great.
I do like that they contextualize that, though. It's like, it's just not any police station I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the original, when you get into Chief Irons' office, you take the elevator down into his creepy dungeon, and there's just like blood all over the place, all these torture devices and stuff, and it's like, oh my god. And you like read about him.
Yeah, and part of you just like wants to mention it to Marvin, just be like, hey, did you know your boss was a psychopath? I know you're dealing with a lot right now, but I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the matter. Okay, just me then.
When Marvin finally like succumbs to his wounds and then he's like a zombie when you return and you gotta put him down, like that was definitely a bummer.
Oh, such a bummer. But part of me was just like, why don't you just kill yourself, man? You're willing to threaten me with a gun. But
survivor.
You know, yeah, I was gonna be like, yeah, that's kind of B zombie movie in a nutshell, people being selfish.
Yeah, well, a lot of the tropes that this falls into, even the what you're saying about Claire being the maternal figure and have taken care of the little girl and stuff. Like, I mean, this is a story from 1998, right? So, it is definitely carrying a lot of that with it. I guess they could have rewritten that. Would have been interesting, maybe having Leon take care of Sherry, but no, because he has to fall in love with Ada or whatever for future games. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I think Leon if they rewrote too much that it would it'd make the fans of the original a little upset. You know, that's sort of always the line you have to walk.
Leon just has bad luck. I think he's been as many titles as Chris has as the main protagonist at this point, right?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say probably more, but no, Chris has a lot of offshoots.
Because Leon has RE2, RE4, RE6, and then there was that like Wii shooter thing that was like the backstory, some of the backstory for 4.
The Game Boy Color game. Resident Evil Gaiden.
Ooh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that stars Leon and Barry on a cruise ship. But then Chris is on a cruise ship in Revelations.
Revelations.
1. Yeah.
Which is a great game, too.
I think Revelations 2 is better.
Okay.
And I'll stand by that.
All right. I mean, that's fair. I enjoy the cruise ship, exploring the cruise ship. Like, that setting is awesome.
Yeah. Just don't like that scanner thing.
But yeah, I think we kind of touched on story there. What about set piece wise? How did you guys feel like RE2 remake kind of recaptured the original from that standpoint?
The police station is, for the most part, you could tell that they love the original and they understand what works about it and what's memorable about it. So even like just little rooms that they made sure to like recreate with great care, like the press room. And I wish there was still the puzzle, because there used to be a puzzle there where you had to light like four different lanterns behind the desk in the press room. But now it's just a room that you go into. But the way it looks is fantastic. And then in the B run, I think you have to go get an item in there and Mr. X breaks through the wall. But I don't know. Like, I think that they understood the assignment and they made sure to bring in all the memories you have and make them look exactly like Chris said, how you remembered them. So I think they nailed it.
Yeah, because this was back from your Gova days, Javi, but I remember you telling that story of like when you were playing the original game and you were you had your last like ink ribbon, you were down to like a sliver of health and you only had your knife and you were able to like make your way through the final portion of the game and beat it by some miracle.
Yeah. 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 I mean, so I was saying earlier how like this game can like, you can screw yourself and soft lock it, but not really, not in these games, because you can beat these games with just a knife. Like, that is possible, which is crazy, but most people can't do that. I can't do that. But yeah, that's some good stuff. I'm trying to think. Oh, right. The opening to the game went like right after that first cutscene, after the gas station, but. Basically, when you're walking through Raccoon City to make it to the police station, this is like my major criticism of this game is that section is too short. In the original, you spend a good amount of time like going through a bus that's broken down, going through back alleys, going up some fire escape stairs and down them. Like, you really get a sense, even though it's pretty brief, and you run into Kendo as well during that opening in the original. But it's pretty brief, but like, you do feel like you have, you know, snaked your way through quite a bit of Raccoon City before you come across the police station. And I think in the remake, that's way too short. You like turn a corner and then you're there.
Right, immediately.
Yeah, I think that's a huge missed opportunity, because Raccoon City is really, really interesting looking. I think for all the faults of RE3 remake, I think they delivered on that. The Raccoon City is like really interesting and fun to walk around in.
I have a question for y'all who are familiar with it. What's the big hole? I guess I missed where that came from, or are the roads just like that?
I think they were doing a bunch of work down in the sewers. I don't know like canonically what's the deal with that, but as for like the game structure, I think it was a way to, like, Resident Evil loves to like put the future parts of the game kind of on the horizon. I think that was like, the sewers are coming, you're about to go down to the sewers, and so that's probably what it was for. And also to haphazardly justify how there's a gigantic alligator down there, I don't know.
Yeah, but Resident Evil's always had fun with just, like, you know, a giant snake. It's just like, okay, why not?
Mm-hmm. Giant scorpion. All that stuff.
Which game is that one in? Is that the original?
Zero.
Ah, okay. Of course.
Yeah. It's the first boss on the train.
I just remember the leeches from Zero, so.
Yeah. There's a giant centipede. Zero's bosses aren't very interesting. I don't like Zero at all, actually.
But yeah, I'm trying to think anything else we can touch on. I mean, like, The sound design, of course, is amazing, and there's a reason why they want you to like plug in headphones to like experience it. But beyond that, did anybody before we go into our closing thoughts, did anybody have anything else they wanted to add?
Yeah, I sort of screwed them over on the headphone thing because I had to play with like one either no headphones or like one ear off and the lights completely on and it's daytime outside. Because yeah, it was a little too effective otherwise.
Nice.
And it's one of those games where like I think I played it with the ray tracing mode on that they put into the series, you know, PS5 versions of the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that helps at all, because like I'd enter a room, you know, push the door open a bit, then back up and just sort of like look at the lighting, like, is there any shadows that are you know, right around the bend? And that helped me catch like a couple zombies that were there for jump scares. Nice. But like I don't know how y'all take it in stride. It always gets my blood pressure going. It's a very intense experience. You know, it's one of those things where it's like the visuals and the sound all come together to create such an effective experience.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask on that front because I'm in the same boat. I would rather watch a streamer like Javi play it than play it myself, which is why I know the lore and everything. But just like when you have to control the character themselves on top of just all the horror elements coming together, it can be a little much for me.
Yeah, the sound design is really effective in this game, especially hearing Mr. X's footsteps. Like, yes, hearing him walk around is like, that was a really, really clever and cool touch, because like even if you're in like a safe room, you can almost always hear Mr. X walking around, opening doors or like kicking doors open or whatever. Like, you always hear him like burst into rooms and you know, you almost always know that he's like out there looking for you, and that's super, super effective.
Which is, I mean, it serves a gameplay purpose, obviously, because like you don't want to go near where he's at. But they make him more relentless in this one than I think he was in the original. So,
didn't knowing he have a more limited role in the original as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's more like Nemesis in this, almost.
Yes. Well, so in the original, if I remember correctly, you don't even see him until you do B mode, until your second run. Yeah,
exactly.
So I kind of actually missed that, because that was like such a shocking surprise that really upped the stakes on your second run. But I understand that they wanted to make sure people saw this and experienced this. So,
and I mean, he's clearly like a big draw of what, like, people loved him in this, because like, they were making all sorts of mods, like, making him in the Thomas the Tank Engine, and like people had a lot of fun with making the fact that he would pop up and show up into something fun to do.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still effective on the second run because he shows up a lot sooner. Like, I started Claire's second run, and I was just walking the corner, and then there he is. Like, I'm not even an hour into the game, and he's just like suddenly walking down the hall at me. I'm like, oh, okay, he's just here, and I haven't even done like half the puzzles, even like before getting to the statue to get to the parking lot. I haven't even done like anything up to that point. And it's just like, oh, okay, I guess now I have to run from him. The way he's just...
Yeah, and I just like, I feel like because of this game, he kind of has more cultural relevance than Nemesis does, at least for modern people, because even though he is basically Nemesis, I feel like he almost does a more effective job, him being silent instead of being like, stars. It just comes off as silly, and less threatening.
He has a cooler design too than Nemesis. Like, Nemesis is a monster. Like, this is not that Mr. X isn't a monster, but like with his weird trench coat and hat, like, it's more distinct. Yeah. Like, it's super goofy, but I think it lends itself to the game better.
It's just dumb dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so stupid that he wears this little fedora, and then you can just like shoot it off, and it gives you an achievement for it.
But
that's a little too silent. Like I literally one time I just like turned the camera slightly and he's standing right next to me. Like, oh, shit.
But yeah, that's Resident Evil 2. So yeah, closing thoughts. Marcus, did you want to start us off? Did I lose everybody?
I'm going to take that as a no from Marcus.
Marcus okay. We'll get back to him if he decides to join us later. But Ben, would you mind giving your closing thoughts?
Yeah, sure. So, I've never played the original Resident Evil. I only played 4, so this is my second RE game, I guess. But yeah, as far as like a actual proper horror Resident Evil, I think they did a really, really good job of modernizing the game, but still making it feel old school with like, you know, inventory puzzles and you know, weird point and click stuff that you're doing for most of the game. But yeah, definitely a really, really cool, effective horror game, even in the modern setting.
Sweet. What about you, Grace? This, since this was your first time playing as Claire in the remake or just in general?
I played the remake as Leon like way back, I mean probably a year or so after it came out. This is my second time playing through as Leon, and then first time I started playing as Claire. I haven't finished yet, but other than that, this is the first time I played Resident Evil 2. I never played the PlayStation version or, you know, whatever other versions there were back then. I have played like I said, I played Code Veronica, I played Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3, so like the old like isometric or fixed camera tank controls, like that stuff doesn't bother me, but I still really appreciate that they modernized this game because it's just a lot more fun to experience and a lot, I guess, easier on the eyes and fingers and everything else that they modernized the visuals, controls, whatever. I appreciate that they put in the work to, you know, bring this to a modern era, even if I don't know what the old version looked like. I will say it's, having played mostly like the action-oriented ones, like Resident Evil 4, 5, I played 6. I'm not going to share my thoughts, that would take too long, but having mostly played those and then going to this one where it's more like atmospheric, puzzle-oriented, it's kind of a shock at first. But I did get used to it, and I really liked, you know, for the most part, I really liked kind of having to think my way through more of it than to shoot my way through it. Although there were times that I was just like completely stumped on what to do, because like the towards the end of the game, we have to look at a trophy to like figure out a code. I'm like, I picked up the trophy and it's like, okay, what do I do with this? I ended up having to like look online and see, oh, okay, I need to read the bottom of the trophy. So that was...
Where you all look on the back of the box, snake energy?
Pretty much. At least this time it was actually in the game itself. But yeah, like that kind of threw me off for a loop, but it all does really come together to make a much more interesting and unique experience, more so than just, you know, bang bang shoot 'em up, like kind of third person shooter that you would kind of think it might be just by looking at it. So yeah, I think that's all I can say about it.
Cool, thank you for the thoughts, Grace. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I love this remake, it's great. I love the original game maybe a little bit more, but it's the fantastic remake of that, and it's said earlier, like it's modernized it in a way that makes it feel like I remember playing that game originally. But yeah, like bringing the adventure elements back into it, something that's been missing from the series for a long time. So that was something I really kind of smiled at. I'm glad people got to experience that aspect of Resident Evil. I think it's been missing. Like that to me, Resident Evil is those first three games. It's an adventure game that you happen to have zombies. You might shoot them occasionally and then there's some fun boss fights, but at its heart, it's an adventure game. So yeah, I love this game.
Sweet. All right. And let's see. Marcus, are you back with us?
I am back.
All right. Let's get your thoughts before we cap off with myself and Avi.
Sure. You know, I think I probably fall more in Javi's camp with my view of the game. I think for me, what really appealed to me, especially in those police station sections of the game, was that sort of adventure game aspect of, like, I'm wandering around this place trying to figure out how to, you know, basically how to advance in the game. You know, I had no real exposure to this game before I started, so I had no idea what I was supposed to do. And so just trying to go from place to place and, like, does this work? How about this? And just, you know, trying multiple things till finally something would work, especially in a lot of those, like, you gotta move this way, or, like, use this combination that way. And for the ones where they didn't out and out tell you the solution, it's just like, okay, well, you know, use what you've done previously, and that'll probably give you a good idea of, like, what you need to do here. All of those sort of things really appeal to me. Combine that with that idea that there's all these zombies around and you don't have what it takes to kill them all. And every time you choose to engage, that's like a conscious decision you're making. Stuff like that really, I don't know, that's for me was a special experience in a game where, you know, usually it's like, hey, you kill the zombies, you'll get a little bit of ammo off their bodies. Turns out these people weren't packing. So you just sort of had to make do with what you would find around this police station. And to have that experience really made the game feel something special. Now, I will say, you know, when it got to the sewers, it sort of did that, but, like, less so. I don't know. It didn't feel quite as well. I don't want to say well polished, but it just the experience was different, and yeah. And a lot more of that was like, well, you gotta run across a lot of monsters that you pretty much can't kill unless you have, you know, the good weapon. And so that made that a bit more of a slog, but it was still just one of those overall experiences that, like, I dug a lot, and I was so many times close to, like, I'm gonna look up the solution here, but I refrained. The only thing, I will admit, I looked it up, I was like, does Mr. X, like, ever leave me alone? I was just trying to figure out stuff in the police station. I just, like, am I doing something wrong? He just keeps finding me. And that is, I don't know, it's a real special feeling, and it's one of those games that, like, I am definitely going to revisit down the line, hopefully once I've forgotten enough, or maybe just doing the B path to get a little bit of a different experience of it. But had I played this back in the PS1 days, I feel like I would be more in that. Yeah, I played every Resident Evil game ever, just trying to chase that unicorn again, trying to recapture what RE2 brought to the table. And I'm sort of glad I didn't, because, like, also, like Javi said, Resident Evil 6 exists. But I think I can recommend this game to everyone, even the scared little babies like me.
I think there's a lot of excellent Resident Evil out there. Don't just give up on 2 after 2. Just stay away from 6. 5's okay with a friend as a goof, but, like, the rest are pretty great. 0 sucks. Don't play 0.
Even 3? I thought you said you were down on 3 too. Oh,
3's fine.
It's just coming off of RE2, and if you know the original RE3, the remake just took out chunks of the game that are just not there. So they kind of didn't do what I said they did in RE2, where they're like, we know what makes this game special. We're going to make sure we recaptured everything you loved about it. 3 feels like cliff notes. It's good. It's very good, but it's like over in a second, and yeah. It's boiled down. It's not quite as good as it should be.
The original 3 is roughly as long as, like, you know, one run in Resident Evil 2 in the original one, and they, like, cut out a whole bunch of shit in the remake. I mean, as Javi said, it's still very good. It's just, if you've played that original game, you know, like, hey, we're missing large portions of this game, and it's very short because of that. So.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, like, these games are so different from each other in terms of, like, tone sometimes, Three is like the beginning of that gradual move towards action. So three is more of an action game. It still has a little bit of horror, but it's more shooty, shooty, bang, bang than RE2 was. But RE7 is, I would argue, scarier than most of the Resident Evils. It's scarier than 2. So if you want more horror, go to 7. RE8 is goofy, but it's like vampires and Draculas and werewolves and Frankensteins. And so that one's fun. I like it. It had mixed reviews, but I thought it was great. Anyways, yeah, there's a lot of Resident Evil out there. Don't give up on just 2. If you enjoyed it, also do the B campaign, because it's different enough that I think it's worth doing. It's pretty cool.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. I'll start with the one, the known quantity that like I already like, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then you already gave some of your closing thoughts, just their hobby, but is there anything else you wanted to add?
I guess just that Resident Evil is in a really, really great place, and it's largely like RE7 began to make things right, to quote Star Wars. But RE7 came out and it was like, what if Resident Evil was just terrifying again? And so they did that. It was a breath of fresh air, but the RE2 remake was, really drove it home. It's like, oh, this franchise is awesome and special, and we're going to show this to a whole new audience. And I think RE2 is a special game, and they knew that it was the most beloved one in the franchise, only maybe next to RE4, which they also killed in a good way. I think this game's awesome. It lives up to the hype. It's what more could you ask for? I'm actually remembering now, in the year that this game came out, it might have been a span of a year and a half or 2 years, but basically all of my dream video games came to fruition, right? We got a true successor to Mario 64 with Mario Odyssey. Mario Odyssey came out. We got an amazing remake of Resident Evil 2. And then we got a phenomenal Spider-Man game. So like, I had that holy trinity of stuff that Javi's into came out at the same time, and they're all just excellent. And I was telling friends at the time, like, I think I'm good. Like, video games I don't want for anything else. This is everything I've ever wanted, came out that year or in that like 2 year span. I still feel satiated. Like, I play games when they come out, but like having those three things, I'm like, man, I don't really care if no games come out ever again. Like, I'm good. Like, so yeah, that's how much I love Resident Evil 2. This game's awesome.
Hey, Javi, I have a question about the Star Wars you quoted. What Star Wars was that?
It was The Force Awakens. It was the opening line.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. Unfortunately. I'm sorry. Things panned out better for Resident Evil.
Well, frankly, I'm disappointed in you, Javi. A gamer should never be satisfied. But I guess, as somebody who didn't, grow up with these games as much, I don't know if I can add anything more than what people have already said. But it was, as somebody who doesn't really enjoy the horror genre, I was still able to have some fun with this game. It felt good to play. I think just not having the tank controls helped out a bunch, just accessibility wise. And even though it could be, I looked up a lot of stuff for this game. It would be like, hey, do the boards on you put up for the windows, do they actually hold back the zombies back indefinitely, or is that just a temporary thing? You know, just like I would look up a bunch of this stuff because I'm like, I don't know, and I feel like I'm not familiar enough with this genre to take the chance. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. It's goofy. That's my closing takes on the game. And I think that just about does it for Resident Evil 2. Did before we stop talking about the game, did you guys want to add anything else, or?
Resident Evil is awesome, and I think it single-handedly is responsible for keeping the horror genre alive and bringing it back time and time again. So respect to the king.
Sweet.
No other thoughts, Ben? What are we playing?
Yeah, I got a list of stuff. I can post it in the chat.
I'm hoping Ben doesn't rat fuck me like Javi did with the Resident Evil options last time.
I had no horror games on my list.
Pick your
poison. I was telling my wife about that, Javi, and she was just like, "That was just mean."
Hey man, it's October.
Yeah, it's spooky game for October.
All right, let's see. I'm not seeing it. Let me go into the chat.
It's in the VTech Club
chat.
Yeah, it didn't show up as a notification, so that's why. Okay, there we go.
Nobody saw my awesome. I'm going to put that back in here. What is Assassin's Creed Rogue? Which one's that?
The French one.
No, that's Unity. Rogue is the it's kind of like 4, takes place same area, but you actually play as an assassin, as one of the order, not the assassins, the Templars.
It's the other pirate game that's not Black Flag.
Yes.
And it's up north, isn't it?
It starts out slow, but yes, it does move up. There is like icy stuff.
Okay, let's see.
Somehow I never even heard of it. That's funny.
It came out the same year that Unity did, but on last-gen consoles.
Yes.
Oh.
So that's why everyone's like, I don't want this old shit. Give me the new stuff. Shiny.
It was the not broken one, too. Because yeah, Unity was broken at launch.
I always wanted to play Syndicate, just because I'm a fan of that kind of setting. Like old England.
Syndicate's fun.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad at all.
Unity's not bad after it was fixed.
Yeah, I've only played Assassin's Creed 2, so I just need to play those games. I enjoyed Assassin's Creed 2. I've never really gone back to it, despite owning like Black Flag, Origins, and Odyssey.
A lot of those play pretty differently from each other.
Yeah, I know. Odyssey and Origins are kind of more RPG-ish.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've heard, whereas like Black Flag is more like more closely tied to 2, but yeah. As somebody who enjoyed the pirate ship levels in Kingdom Hearts 3, I've been told that I would like Black Flag, so.
Black Flag is goated. They should remake it.
Okay, did everybody vote?
Looks like we're missing another hat, or is that you, Marcus, where your hat and a flag?
You know it.
Okay. All right. We might be all good then.
All right. One, two, three, four, five.
Did you not vote, Ben?
Oh, I can vote.
Yeah, you have the right.
Like, what is your top choice here?
Out of Light.
Child of Light, yeah.
Oh, 2 votes for Child of Light.
I've tried to play that game too many times and just dropped off immediately.
Same.
I had started Hat in Time, but I played it like it needed more time in the oven. It was a little.
I feel rough. You. And it sucks because that's my favorite genre, but yeah, it doesn't work for me. I don't know. But I'll give it another go.
Right.
I started every single one of these games except Mirror's Edge.
And oh, shit.
It's a 3-way tie.
Oh, wait.
Nope. Here. Something moved.
Someone fucked over Messenger. Oh, look at that, Rogue. Yo.
No.
No, I want to play Assassin's Creed.
Okay, dude, it's Assassin's Creed or A Hat in Time.
Like, no, remember,
A Hat in Time.
He Resident Evil'd us.
Yeah,
I did not.
You absolutely did.
You're welcome.
Oh God, do I even own this game? I think I might have it on Xbox One as part. It was like a games with gold potentially, but I might be thinking of Syndicate. Yeah, too. Ah.
But I'll play Syndicate, and it'll I'll tell you about it.
Okay, thanks.
Give me a second here. I mean, I own it and the remake, or the remaster that they did.
Oh yeah, that's right. When they finally dropped that on quote unquote current gen at the time.
Yeah. So there's Rogue and Rogue Remastered.
I'm checking the PlayStation Store to see if I can even get this game.
Rogue is on PS Plus, the expanded whatever, their Game Pass equivalent.
You can get it on PS4, Xbox One, or the 360 version is also backwards compatible.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that thing.
Rogue Remastered. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it shouldn't be too expensive either way.
Oh, it's free. My PS Plus.
Yeah.
What Marcus just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to listen to me.
Like what Marcus said.
Some bitch. All right. So it looks like we're doing Rogue. Yeah.
Does seem that way.
Yeah. So.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, it's a curious game.
Fuck these.
Right, let's see how much it is on Amazon real quick.
Yeah, it's 30 if you get it digitally. So probably physical version is probably cheaper.
Yeah, $15.
I didn't know there was a physical version for current consoles. I thought it was just digital.
Not for current consoles, PS4, but close enough.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like current issue. The last generation. God, I keep getting confused now. I want to call current PS4 and Xbox One because PS5 and Series.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of like half steps.
It's the remastered version, so it is. It's there. Or you can go back and get the 360 version if you really want to. It's also available for $18.67.
Be adventurous and get it on PS3.
Yeah, get that 20 frames per second going.
That's the cheapest one, $12.99. PS3 version.
You can tell us about all of the wonderful performance bugs. No. I love PS3, but yeah, some of the games didn't perform the best on there. But I guess that was a later generation title, so who knows?
Most of the games didn't perform very well on PS3.
I also played Fallout New Vegas on PS3, so.
You hate yourself. I got it. I understand.
Where are we looking at record? Where are we looking at talking about Rogue? Like, how much time are we giving ourselves here? Because we're going to be coming up on holidays.
What's 6 weeks from now? Like, on the calendar, that would be.
That's like early December, right? Before the real like holiday kicks in?
Right after. American Thanksgiving and
just so you guys know, I'm gonna be on vacation and unable to record until probably the 16th, I think.
Okay.
Of December.
Okay,
I can work.
You guys
want
to aim for there then?
16th, 17th that weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds good because it's right before Christmas, so.
Right.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed is totally a Christmas game, right? Just like Die Hard.
There's snow in this one.
Yeah, 100%. This works.
I like snow.
Nice. All right, y'all. Then I think we got a plan. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Sweet. Well, it was a pleasure as always, guys. And thank you for whoever listened. And I hope you have a wonderful day. This is VG Club, and we're out.
Bye.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.